from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news, first the main points. Indonesia discusses micro, small, and medium enterprises export issues with Singapore. Indonesia and Japan agree to push ratification of the protocol to amend the Indonesia-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Trade Budi Santoso discussed the priority issue of Indonesian micro, small and medium enterprises to be able to export with Singapore's Minister of Sustainability and Environment and Minister of Trade Relations Grace Fu and during the bilateral meeting on the sidelines of the APEC Economic Leaders Week 2024 in Peru Thursday. Another issue that was also discussed was related to the annual Ministerial Dialogue Forum. Minister Budi Santoso, through his statement in Jakarta on Friday, said it was a special dialogue forum at the ministerial level between the Ministry of Trade of Indonesia and Singapore, the implementation of which is expected to be a means of promoting trade in goods and services, including exploration of trade facilitation for micro, small, and medium enterprises from Indonesia and business exploration. Budi Santoso also emphasized Indonesia's support for the activation of the annual Ministerial Dialogue Forum to promote and facilitate trade and explore new issues in international trade. At the meeting, Indonesia encourages Singapore to invest in Indonesia, especially in the Batam and Bintan areas. Both countries also expressed interest in cooperation in the energy and food sectors. Indonesia and Japan have agreed to push the ratification of the protocol to amend the Indonesia-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement so that it can be implemented in 2025. This was discussed during a bilateral meeting between Indonesian Trade Minister Budi Santoso and Minister of Economy, Trade and Industry of Japan, Yoji Muto, on the sidelines of the APEC Economic Leaders Week 2024 in Peru on Thursday. Budi Santoso, in a statement issued on Friday, pointed out that at this bilateral meeting, both countries agreed to push for the completion of the ratification of the Indonesia-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement Amendment Protocol. The ratification process is currently underway in both countries with an implementation target of 2025. Head of the Gorontalo Province Tourism Office Arianto Hussein is preparing the Maleo Festival to be included in the Karisma Event Nusantara in 2025. At the opening of the 2024 Maleo Festival At Lake Perintis Bone Bolango Regency Friday, he explained that Charisma Event Nusantara is curated by the central government and considered a national event in the region so that the Gorontalo Provincial Tourism Office will prepare the event to make it more interesting. He further explained, Malio Bird is one of the icons in Sulawesi and in Gorontalo and can attract people who are curious about it. Through the Malio Festival, his office wants to maintain the habitat and sustainability of Malio birds as a conservation effort and also sustainable tourism. Member of Commission 5 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Novita Wijayanti, encouraged the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency to continue to improve the early warning system and educate the public about the importance of responding to disaster information. She explained on Friday that this step is important in reducing the risk of casualties and losses due to a disaster. She also hopes that the agency can become an excellent institution in providing precise prediction and helping better development policies in the future. With these steps, she hopes Indonesia will be better prepared to deal with various potential disasters that may occur and be able to protect public safety more effectively. As world leaders at this year's UN Climate Change Conference, COP29, discussed the responsibility of developed nations to finance climate action in vulnerable regions, South-South cooperation is emerging as a transformative driving force equitable energy transition. As reported by ArabNews.com, Saudi Arabia has established itself as a leader in this collaboration between countries in the Global South, leveraging its resources, expertise, and strategic partnerships to unlock Africa's renewable energy potential and shape a more sustainable future. In November last year, Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdul Aziz bin Salman signed groundbreaking memorandums of understanding on the partnerships with 5 African nations, namely Ethiopia, Senegal, Chad, Nigeria, and Rwanda. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has criticized a call between Germany's Chancellor and Russian President Vladimir Putin as opening a Pandora's box that only works to undermine efforts to isolate Russia's leader. The conversation on Friday was the first time Scholz has spoken with Putin in 2 years. It comes as the German leader gears up for a snap election and Europe waits to hear U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's plan for ending the war in Ukraine. The Vietnamese National Environmental Protection Plan for the 2021-2030 period with a vision to 2050 focuses on respecting natural laws and promoting a sustainable growth model built on a green, circular, and low-carbon economy. As quoted by VOVworld.vn, Deputy Minister of Natural Resources and Environment of Vietnam, Lê Quang Thanh, stated at a hybrid ceremony on Friday and announced the launch of the new plan. It was set out to prevent and bring environmental pollution and degradation under control. The plan also aims to establish protected areas and conserve nature and biodiversity while developing a sustainable socio-economic model following green, circular, and low-carbon economy principles. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Jambi City, Jambi Province. Jambi University or UNJA introduced the innovation of micro-triderm plus technology on Liberica coffee seedlings to the farmers group in East Tanjung Jabung Regency to make coffee farming healthy and environmentally friendly. Quoted by Antara in Jakarta Wednesday, the head of the UNJA Community Service Team, Professor Alice Kartika, said that this socialization was to overcome attacks of roots fungus disease and increase the resistance of Liberica coffee seedlings to various pathogens. With the innovation of using micro 3-derm technology, the production and productivity of Liberica coffee on peatlands can be increased. Previously, the introduction of this innovation was given to the Mekartani Farmers Group Betara West Tanjung Jabung. This farmer group has succeeded in implementing the innovative technology of micro 3-derm plus to improve the quality of Liberica coffee seedlings planted on peatlands. The next news comes from Surabaya City, East Java Province. A theme of the Student Creativity Week for Exact Research of the 10 November Institute of Technology has successfully come out with nanofluids innovation that can increase the productivity of geothermal energy extraction into electrical energy by up to 21.3%. A team member, Wuri Handayani in Surabaya, Wednesday explained that the nanofluids developed by her team are water-based fluids containing nanoparticles of zinc oxide cores. The particles were chosen because they are known to have high thermal conductivity, making them effective in transferring heat. If this innovation is applied to thousands of abandoned oil wells in Indonesia, it is estimated that national electricity production could increase by up to 20 gigawatts, thus making a significant contribution to the target of increasing the portion of renewable energy by 29.8%. The latest news comes from Banyuwangi Regency, East Java. Banyuwangi Regency, East Java is hosting the Asian Science and Mathematics Olympiad for primary and secondary schools from November 11th until 16th. Acting Regent of Banyuwangi, Sugirah, in Banyuwangi Wednesday said that this international olympiad was attended by 136 participants from 12 countries, including Malaysia, Hong Kong, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and Taiwan. President of the Olympiad, Munas Prianto Ramli, explained that this competition aims to encourage students to study science and mathematics from an early age. That was news from across Indonesia.
Oh.
begin today in history with the event on November 16, 1995 about the International Day of Tolerance. The International Day of Tolerance is celebrated every November 16 to celebrate diversity and tolerance. This day is motivated by the birth of the Declaration of Principles of Tolerance by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, on November 16, 1995. As quoted by the UNESCO website, the declaration emphasizes that tolerance is not indulgence or indifference. Tolerance recognizes the universal human rights and fundamental freedoms of others. Human beings are inherently diverse. Only tolerance can ensure the survival of diverse societies in every region of the world. In 1996, the United Nations General Assembly adopted Resolution 51/95, designating November 16th as the International Day of Tolerance. Let's move to another event of 2002 about the first case of SARS virus was recorded in Guangdong, China. The first case of SARS virus, or acute respiratory syndrome, was first recorded in Guangdong, China on November 16, 2002. The disease is caused by the SARS-associated coronavirus, or SARS-CoV. As quoted by the National Library of Medicine website, the first SARS transmission route occurred in Foshan City, Guangdong Province, China. During the period November 16, 2002 to February 9, 2003, there were 305 cases reported in Guangdong Province. Then SARS spread to more than 20 countries in North America, South America, Europe, and Asia. We end the program with the event on November 2010, when UNESCO designated Angklung as a cultural heritage. On November 16, 2010, UNESCO designated Angklung from Indonesia as an intangible cultural heritage of humanity. UNESCO considers Angklung, a musical instrument made of bamboo, to have met the criteria for inscription on the list of representatives of the intangible cultural heritage of humanity. As quoted by AngklungCenter.com, Angklung's birth record refers to the Sunda Kingdom period, around the 12th to the 16th centuries. Now November 16 is celebrated as World Angklung Day.
yang mencintaiku.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on financial sector becomes a game changer for Indonesia's development. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Finance Suhasil Nazara emphasized the importance of the financial sector as one of the main pillars of Indonesia's development. In his remarks at the 2024 Financial Profession Expo, which was held online on Thursday, November the 14th, he explained the financial sector has a very vital role in the Indonesian economy. According to him, this sector can be a game changer in accelerating development, and efforts to advance it will continue to be made so that it can develop well. In the event, which raised the theme, Synergy of the Financial Profession, Sustainable Transformation Towards a Stable, Inclusive and Innovative Financial Ecosystem, the Deputy Minister of Finance revealed three main pillars that will be the focus in developing Indonesia's financial sector, namely the development and deepening of the financial sector finance, inclusiveness of the financial sector, and the stability of the financial sector itself. He also explained the implementation of the law on the development and strengthening of the financial sector, which has been in effect since early 2023. It is considered an important momentum for reforming the Indonesian financial sector. With this law, it is hoped that the Indonesian financial sector can develop more inclusively and stable and be better able to face global challenges. Not only that, the Deputy Minister of Finance also highlighted the important role of professionals in the financial sector. He reminded them to continue to improve their competence and maintain integrity because, according to him, this is an important key to maintaining public trust. Deputy Minister of Finance Suhasil Nazara invited all parties involved in the event to jointly encourage the creation of a more professional, highly competent financial sector that is able to provide the best service for the Indonesian people. That was My Indonesia Today.
Cinta ini tak berubah.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, having holidays in Yogyakarta is the right choice for those of you who have an adventurous spirit, because you can explore various tourism attractions that are famous for their beauty. The area of Mountain Merapi, which is precisely located in the village of Glagaharjo, Cangkringan, Sleman, can be a choice of destinations to visit. Because here, there is Klangen Hill or Glagaharjo Hill. Klangen Hill is the hill that is located closest to the slopes of Mount Merapi, with an altitude of 11,000 meters above sea level. The atmosphere around Bukit Klangon is very cool and fresh. Moreover, the beautiful scenery can make the heart become calmer. Bukit Klangon, as one of the most popular tourism attractions in Yogyakarta, had its own charm, with its beautiful and mesmerizing scenery. Bukit Klangon is one of the best places to take pictures. The pictures that will be produced are also very beautiful because of the background view of Mount Merapi. The right time to take pictures around Bukit Klangon is from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. The scenery will be very clear, while in the morning it will usually be foggy. For those of you who love extreme activities such as downhill, which is a sport activity that uses a bike or runs downhill, then Bukit Klangon is the right choice. Because in Bukit Klangon there is a downhill track that is quite challenging. The downhill track here has not only sharp turns, but also many small climbs. Therefore, doing the sport should be not careless. It is better to not use paths that are too extreme. If you want to enjoy the natural beauty of Bukit Klangon at night, you can set up a tent here. Because Bukit Klangon provides a place to set up a large enough tent, In addition, if you want to camp here, you must bring your own camping equipment and supplies. In the morning, at Bukit Klangon, you can enjoy the beauty of the sunrise or the fog atmosphere, which is quite soothing. If you want to visit Bukit Klangon, it is recommended to visit during the dry season, because at this time, the view of Mount Merapi is very clear and beautiful. So, you can really enjoy the beauty of a very enchanting view. To enter Bukit Klangon, which is about 35 kilometers from downtown Yogyakarta, foreign tourists must pay a ticket of 15,000 rupiahs. And to use a place that can be used to set up a tent, they must pay another 15,000 rupiahs, while for parking motorbikes and cars, must pay from 2,000 to 5,000 rupiahs. And that's Indonesian Wonder today. See you tomorrow in the same event and frequency.
Meraih dan menaju.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, welcome back to the weekend edition of Miscellany. This time, we inform you about a group of University of Indonesia students who are members of the Millboard team have successfully made Indonesia's name famous in the international arena by becoming champions at the UNESCO Youth Hackathon 2024, a prestigious event initiated by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. Listener, Youth Hackathon 2024 is a forum for bringing together young innovators from all over the world to design creative solutions to improve media literacy and understanding among the public. At the event, Millboard team competed with 203 projects from 68 countries and managed to conquer the tight competition. This victory not only brought the Millboard team to the top of the championship, but also gave them the honor of attending the UNESCO Global Mill Week Feature Conference 2024 in Amman, Jordan. In front of world leaders, they presented an innovative project that combines board games and digital applications to train children and adolescents' ability to filter information on cyberspace. We're an innovation that combines traditional games such as snakes and ladders, as well as interactive features such as challenge cards and QR codes. The game introduced by the University of Indonesia Millboard team offers an interesting learning experience for the younger generation. The Millboard team hopes this work can reach children throughout the country, both in urban and remote areas, helping them recognize facts and avoid hoaxes. Their success shows the creativity, innovation, and hard work of Indonesia's young generation can compete at the world level and inspire other children of the nation to continue to excel. Well, listener, that's today's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you. jendela berembun, kamu ada. Tak berkedip, mata berbisik, isyaratkan rindu yang dalam kepada.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in this edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Cinta Tak Harus Memiliki, or Love Doesn't Have to Own Each Other, by Symphony Keroncong Muda Orchestra featuring Lia Magdalena. The song, released in 2011, was popularized by Indonesian band ST12. According to Muhammad Charlie Van Houten, as the writer and singer, this song means that love doesn't always have to be owned together. The definition of happiness is sometimes having to let go of each other, because the conditions do not allow them to be together. Separation may be the only best way to go, because everyone has the right to be happy, even if they are not together. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of Cinta Tak Harus Memiliki by Symphony Keroncong Muda Orchestra featuring Lia Magdalena. Enjoy!
Cinta memang tak selamanya bisa indah. Cinta juga bisa berubah menjadi sakit. Begitu yang kurasakan ini, pedih hatiku tinggal kehancuran. Pernah terbayangkan dan tak pernah terpikirkan, cintamu dan cintaku akan berpisah. Namun harus ku relakan ini untuk dirimu agar lebih baik. untukmu. Terima kasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.